C1G. Number 19A.
The fifth stage in the Adam dream, which we can symbolize by life, uncovering its opposite, and in the first record of creation, that life was shown as the spiritual life, that life is soars above the earth, above mortality, above matter, into the open firmament of heaven, that life that is abundant, that is multiplying, that life that has individuality. And now this uncovers that any other concept of life, an opposite concept of life, must be wrong. So in this comparison, we see life versus mortality, or we could also say the exaltation of life versus the demoralization of life, or we can see here the multiplication of life versus the falling back into nothingness. Instead of multiplying positively, it multiplies negatively and falls back into dust. How does the Bible show that step by step? And so first we have life as mind in the first record of creation, and we know the symbol there was that God said, let the waters be full of living things and living creatures, and that let fowls fly above the earth into the open firmament of heaven, and gave us a sense of what? Gave us a sense that only that is life which is immaterial, which is not earthbound, which actually rises up and exalts itself to the point where it sees that it is in the open firmament, that it is an idea in God. That only an ideational being is actually life. Only that which is of the nature of idea has true life. Now, this is counterfeited in the second record, where the Bible says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He lied again. For God does not know that in the day ye eat thereof. Oh, sorry, I read it wrongly. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Can you see, instead of to fly into the open firmament of heaven, so that we see that being is the idea of God, you have the very opposite. Your eyes shall be opened, really, to see the whole disaster of the world, and ye shall be God, not ye shall be an idea of God. The counterfeit is that we are an idea of God, that we have the belief that we are God and can do the things we want to do, and that nothing has to tell us anything what we should do and how we should behave. It is, ye shall be as gods. The counterfeit of God expressing itself through ideas. It's all about saying that the, Mrs. Eddy says, that the material senses say, ye can open your eyes, and I can do what God has not done for you. Can you see, it gives a false sense of fatherhood. If the moment I put myself in the position of God, I say, I'm the creator, I'm the one that impels to do, impels whatever has to be done. I'm Father, I give to the universe what I want to give. I look at the universe the way I want to look at it. I'm my own God. I can consider the whole universe the way I like it. I don't have to adapt myself and to a principle or to another standpoint. I'm the middle of it. I'm the standpoint. I'm the center. Everything has to turn around me. Gives a false sense of fatherhood. That brings us further to life as spirit. And in life as spirit, in the first record, we could see that the record was showing how life is individualized in spiritual natures, that everything gathers spiritual nature, and that our individuality can be that of a whale, doesn't need to be a little fish, that it can be the individuality of a whale which says, I can gather all ideas, all qualities of God. My individuality is actually reflecting the whole of God. It isn't so that my individuality only reflects a little part of God or some little qualities of God. These are the little fishes. But the whale says, no, I have everything that God has. I reflect all the qualities of God, and that's my true individuality. I always feel the term individuality is so misunderstood in Christian Science. When we say that that man is individual, we usually have a sense that a man just has some qualities, and the other one, who is also individual, has some other qualities, and a third one that is also individual has, again, different qualities, and that the difference between these qualities make up the individuality of all of them, and that is naturally a limited sense. That's just not individuality, that's really then the second record of creation. True individuality is that at every point, everyone can acclaim for himself all the spiritual qualities of God, all the ideas of God. But as every situation is different, we claim these ideas in every situation in an individual way, so that everyone has infinite individuality, not one individuality. If we only would have one individuality, we would be limited, a tiny little fish. But we must see that in every situation, somehow we can accentuate always new qualities of God. I will accentuate different qualities if I have to be a friend to somebody, then if I have to be a teacher of a student, I have to gather different individual qualities if I'm a research student. I'm different qualities if you want to be a father to your children or to your wife, a husband. In every situation, we need to reflect different qualities. And so we have infinite individuality. Not just one so-called individuality, which then is always limited. So let's see that every one of us, either male or female, really claims its unity with God and therefore draws in an undivided way from God all that is needed for a certain situation. And in every other new situation, we claim new ideas. This is the point that Mrs. Eddy brings out in that paragraph, Life as Spirit. She even says, this is interesting, she even says, but we do not know the individuality. But we only know one thing, that their natures are alike to God's nature. Can you see it? Life as spirit. So it is not so that somebody should say, my individuality is this and this and this, and that's it. We do not know what our individuality is, or we would have a limited sense of life, absolute limited sense of life. We would restrict ourselves to just one aspect of life, just one office in life, and would negate that we can just as well fulfill any other individual contribution in life. So let's be quite clear what life as spirit says, that for every situation, for every individual situation, we can draw from life all those qualities which are necessary to fulfill that place, that job, that office, that whatever it is. So we are all our father, mother, son, teacher, student, we all are everything. So a woman cannot say, well, my individuality is more than mother's sense. And a male cannot just say, well, my individuality is just the creative sense. Then he is only half a portion. He really is not the whole. He's only always half of it. And therefore, being male, one has to claim the womanhood sense. Being a female, one has to claim the fatherhood sense, so that we express all individuality. What does that uncover in the second record of creation? And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Can you see? He gave it to the husband to eat. She felt that she has to care for the husband, that the sustenance of life was not dependent on God himself, but that it was dependent on her. So it was good for food, and so Mrs. Eddy asked here, well, which institutes life? Matter or mind? Can you see the tone of the sustenance of life? Is that sustenance of life matter, or is it mind? If it is mind, capital M, then the sustenance of life goes on within the one mind, and that one mind is the all mind, and that all mind has access to all ideas. But if I limit that and say that it is based on matter, on the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the fruit of duality, then naturally I am supporting life on a dualistic way. And then I have naturally only the male individuality, and not the woman individuality, or I have only the woman individuality, not the male individuality, because I have split up the whole universe into dualism. Then we come to life as soul. Life as soul, you remember in the first record of creation, was that point where it was said that God blessed them, saying, the fishes and the fowls, blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea, and let fowl multiply in the earth. We had a great sense of multiplication. It was really that point where we said there is the break from the Word as Christ to the Word as Christianity, to the demonstration of abundance, of multiplication, or to spiritual sense. So there she expressly says that that multiplication is only is only seen through spiritual sense or to spiritual sense, not to material sense. But here the counterfeit is that it is evident to material sense. And the eyes of them both were opened. So you can see the material senses were opened. And what did they see? Did they see multiplication? Was it life as soul? Multiplication seen to spiritual sense? No, it was material sense that can only see the counterfeit of multiplication. Their eyes were open and they knew that they were naked. Can you see the nakedness, the very counterfeit of the abundance and multiplication of life? So life here is counterfeited by nakedness, therefore by emptiness, nothingness. So Mrs. Eddy asks, what do we gain from the five corporeal senses, from human knowledge and material sense? If this knowledge, is this knowledge safe? When eating of the first fruit brought death? Can you see how she explains life as soul? That the knowledge of good and evil is bringing forth the five corporeal senses, the counterfeit of soul, and that counterfeit of soul can only bring forth death, desolation, the counterfeit of life. If we go on to principle, life as principle, what did we have in the first record of creation? Well, there, the text only says on the evening and the morning were the fifth day, but Mrs. Eddy explains it there and says that only then, when we have the interpretation of science, principle, that through the interpretation of science we arrive at an exalted sense of being. That was her explanation of life as principle. That we get the true sense of life, the exalted sense of life, the true sense of being, when divine science becomes the interpreter. Now, the counterfeit here is another kind of interpretation, another kind of science. Namely, and they sowed, is that the right? Sowed. And they sowed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Can you see what it means? A false sense of system. They tried to take fig leaves, isolated facts, isolated beliefs, and tried to make out of those beliefs a system. An apron, sewed it together so that it would be a consistent whole. But you can't get a consistent whole out of isolated facts. That is just accumulation, addition. You never really get something consistent by taking the parts and trying to heap up parts upon parts. You only get the system from a principle. If you go out from the whole and interpret everything from the whole, from principle, then we get the true system. So this is exactly what we usually do. We feel that we really can get life, the higher sense of life, by accumulating more and more isolated facts. If we put all those facts, like fig leaves, together to try and get a system so that we can hide behind it, this all leads really to nowhere. So
Yeah, I must go on. This is not the whole text. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. He's a really nice God. Huh? He can walk in the cool day, huh, in the garden round. I hope there were some roses there. Can you get really the Jehovah concept of a God, huh? From the primitive document? He really behaves like a man. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. You see, life is that which is omnipresent. Life is being, ever present. So through their fig leaves, through making a whole theory and dogma or doctrine with beliefs and putting all those beliefs together in a nice manual of beliefs, they hid really themselves from the real being, from the presence of the Lord amongst the tree of the garden. Terrific sense. How through trying to build up a whole system of organization, we only make an apron, and by that organization where we try to pull everything together into one consistent government and organization, we begin to hide the true idea of life. Because then we are no more united with life. We have no more the individuality of life. So Christian Science teaches the self-government of each Christian scientist, that each one must have direct unity, indivisible unity with God. Indivisible means undividable individuality. So we only really can bring out in our life naturally if we are free to act and do according to our oneness with God, to our undivided relation with principle. Then principle sounds through us as life. This is the point of life as principle, as shown in the first day of creation, in the fifth day of creation. Here it is the very opposite, namely that through a system of beliefs we really hide the true being, the living sense of being. We have to adjust ourselves to people, to laws, to regulation, to bylaws, etc., etc., and our whole individuality gets lost. Yeah. So they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Can you see all the great thinkers, all the great prophets, like Moses and the prophets, like Samuel and so on, they all had a very different attitude. They did not hide themselves from the Lord. They would always say, "Here I am, use me. Here I am, make use of me." And this is the attitude that naturally we must have if we want to have real newness of life. Then we must have that willingness to subordinate ourselves to the ruling and governing principle. Yes. Well, that's the tone of life. I just run quickly through our epitomes, how we have summarized it and put it into metaphysical language. Again, you have life, the epitome runs, a knowledge of both, good and evil, brings death. Death, not actual death. Doesn't happen that quickly. It just first brings death to spiritual sense, and that brings demoralization, and then slowly we go down the drain until finally there is nothing left. But it's actually a demoralizing way. It's not the way of life. We always speak about the way of life, but here it is another way. How does that come about? What do we have to do in order to go the wrong way? Well, it started out with life as mind, which says, well, the method of mortality rests on dualistic knowledge, on false knowledge, not on the mind that is God. So everything starts in a wrong direction, on a wrong way, when we take the counterfeit of mind and take the knowledge of good and evil. Life as spirit then goes on, and we say here, matter can neither institute nor sustain life. We must see that matter has no power to sustain life. So, and life as soul, that also the corporeal senses, the counterfeit of soul, only bring about mortality. They too bring no life. We think the more we use really the corporeal senses, the more we get out of life, the more we get the kick out of life, and that's the second record of creation. It's only really the multiplication of spiritual sense, to fall back on spiritual sense, the culturing of spiritual sense, that gives us the substantiality of life and of life purpose. Life as principle, false system, hypocrisy, the hiding behind the false system, hiding behind the dogmas in religion, doctrines, hiding behind theories in the sciences, estranges man from his true being. It estranges him from his true individuality and remounts him to dust. The promise is that he will return to dust instead of exalted being. And so we get the way of life and the counterfeit, the way towards destruction.